Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guests today are Darren Ash, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission Chief Information Officer, and Richard McKinney, the Transportation Department's Chief Information Officer. And both of you guys also are the co-chairman of the CIO Council's Workforce Committee, which is really why you're on the show today. So Darren, Richard, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
All right, well, let's just start at the beginning. The Workforce Committee of the CIO Council undertook a recent workforce survey. This is fascinating stuff. Richard, let me throw it to you. Start with the why you guys undertook the survey, and then we can get into more details.
The Workforce Committee sort of reformed under Darren and my leadership not too long ago. And I think the first thing we were trying to do with this survey was we were looking to, you know, research the need for the, you know, possible new or expanded hiring authorities to support our IT community. So we decided that the way, you know, a good way to go about that was to, you know, sort of conduct a informal and voluntary survey. And then we're hoping the survey is going to serve as a, you know, sort of a baseline for our hiring needs and help the committee identify and address some possible IT hiring issues. So that's really what kicked this off.
When you guys undertook the survey, this is not the first time you guys have done it before, but it has not been done in quite a while. Did you have some baseline data that you were starting from to make a comparison?
No, we did not. We did not.
Okay, and I know that there was a survey back in 2011, so we'll get to that in a sec. But Darren, yeah. let me ask you a little bit, the process for doing the survey. You know, when we do surveys at Federal News Radio, it's all about SurveyMonkey. Did you guys use something similar to that type of process?
Similar. It was a small and scientific survey. Our goal, knowing we have a large distribution list of out to the IT community as well as the Chico community, human capital community, our goal was to get as best a response we could, and that, you know, the request, the survey went out to those individuals. Large agencies, small agencies responded. We ended up getting a good mix of CIOs and deputy CIOs, IT managers, IT hiring managers, HR specialists. It was a very simple, very quick opportunity to get beyond just the anecdotes we'd been hearing.
And how many questions and what did the questions focus on?
It was more backward looking in terms of really the experiences agencies were having, hiring managers, HR specialists were having in terms of really what it took, let's say over the last five hires, IT hiring actions, what it took from really start to finish. How long did it take, the beginning to the end? How many responses you got? How many were qualified? How many were well qualified? How many offers were given? As I said, it was getting beyond the anecdotes. You know, an easy thing to say is hiring takes too long. Well, we wanted data, we wanted information that, again, in a small, unscientific survey, is that true? Is it accurate? Are there some good practices? Are there some agencies that can get good talent, great talent in the door quickly? And are there some agencies, organizations that do take quite a while?
Now, along with the survey, was there any open-ended questions? Because, for instance, I did a story recently with the General Services Administration's 18F, Greg Godbout, who's the executive director, and we talked a lot about hiring, and he brought up some successes they had with hiring. Did you look at some open-ended questions as well?
We did, and we wanted to, we always saw an opportunity, particularly these type of services as you describe, give people an opportunity to say, hey, here's some things that we're experiencing, here's some ideas, and we did exactly that. I think we got some good inputs, good thoughts that I think ultimately we can be able to use and apply to other types of activities and things that we do in the Workforce Committee.
And Richard, from your perspective, you know, you probably took the survey as well. You know, when you looked at some of the questions, is there any things that, you know, stood out to you as, you know, as you wrote the questions, as you responded to the questions?
The thing that stood out to me, and it's sort of what Darren just alluded to, is, you know, we had been hearing sort of anecdotally, if you will, you know, that, hey, sometimes these hires take a very long time. And then we'd also hear other folks saying, well, that's not really the case for me. And one of the things that stood out for me when I looked at the survey the first time was that there was, you know, a variance between the, you know, the people who for the hiring process had the you know, the quickest result versus the folks that took more time, and the difference was I get maybe a little more than I thought. I thought it, you know, I knew there would be you know high and a low, but I didn't realize that there was going to be as big of a distance, you know, from somebody being able to get some hires through as short as, you know, 4 to 6 weeks as opposed to someone that was taking making many months. And that's part of what we, you know, one of the things we set out to do, and one of the goals of our committee is to try to figure out why the people who are having more success and the process is moving quicker for them, how do they do it differently than the folks that it's taking longer? And what, you know, what are those differences? So this, you know, again, because this is a, you know, what we consider to be a baseline survey, I think that's one of the things that stood out to me and one of the things we are now going to try to drill into.
I definitely want to get into the results in just a second. But Darren, one of the things you mentioned earlier that really I thought is a good sign is that you didn't just reach out to CIOs and deputy CIOs, but you said HR folks and others. Did you reach out to the chief acquisition officer? Did you reach out to the CFO communities, the other communities that still hire IT folks all the time?
Well, for this survey, we did just exclusively focus on the CIO Council distribution as well as the Chief Human Capital Council. We acknowledge and readily accept we have to have strong partnerships, and we do have that and a great deal of dialogue. But I think for this survey, we felt it was just easiest knowing that the HR specialists, those are our partners in the hiring process. We wanted to hear from them. That's why we focused in those groups.
Still, I mean, they are the ones that are right at the, if you will, the tip of the spear. I think, you know, between the CIOs and the HR specialists. Let's talk a little bit about the results of the survey. I know, Richard, you gave us a little bit of a heads up, but let me turn to Darren to start with. What stood out to you? Maybe three or four findings that really you were surprised by or you were not surprised by? Give me a sense.
I echo what Richard said about just the stark differences in some agencies. See some organizations in terms of the time to hire. It amazed me, and I have my own experiences here at the NRC, which are good, but it was definitely interesting and intriguing to see the stark difference between some of the other agencies, how some are incredibly efficient and others just struggle in terms of the time to hire. I think the other thing that really stood out for me had to do with the well-qualified candidates. We know historically we get a large number of applicants for these types of positions, but what we do know and what we've been hearing from our counterparts is, are we getting the right well-qualified individuals? Are we getting enough of those? Is it a strong, diverse pool of candidates that we can select from? And I think from the data, at least again, the unscientific data, there's some struggles.
And when you talk about struggles, are you talking about struggles of finding diverse candidates, the large number, the qualified? Where did the respondents talk about the struggles?
I think it's enough of the well-qualified. When the experiences and skills that we're trying to hire, there's a great deal of talk, obviously, about digital services. Are we getting enough of those types of candidates on our list, on our cert list, to be able to select from? I don't think we're getting enough.
Richard, from your perspective, when you looked at some of the results, when you looked at some of the findings, what stood out to you?
The survey revealed is what were some of the obstacles, and because, you know, that's what really jumped out at me. And, you know, it's not surprising that, you know, salary is one of the, you know, one of the things, and we know that. So, but that's easy just to point at that. And, you know, and obviously, you know, we'd love to see some work done on that. But then moving on, there was a finding that that basically pointed out that the respondents believe that the HR staffs don't have sufficient tools or skills to address the IT candidate, you know, the IT candidate skills and knowledge. And I certainly don't mean this. We're not laying this problem on our doorstep. We as CIOs, if our HR needs help from us to be able to do these assessments better, then that's really beholden upon us to partner with them. That's not us being critical of them saying you should have these skills. We should, if there are things that we believe that need to be considered in that process and we're the ones in possession of that knowledge, we need to figure out a way to partner with them to be able to team up so that we can bridge those gaps.
Even though this was focused on hiring, was there any sense from the HR folks or from any of the respondents about how to bridge those gaps yet? Or is that, again, later down the road?
Well, I think that it's later down the road. I think what we're hoping is that we're going to be able to take some of these questions, if you will, that this baseline revealed and that it things that we've noticed and let that be feed into more discussions specifically with the Chico community about time to hire and about, you know, the processes where candidates are assessed and all the various parts of the hiring process as two communities. How can we work closely together so that we help them and they help us? So, and I think, you know, this baseline survey is going to feed those discussions.
All right, very good. Let's take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll talk more about some of the findings and going forward, some of the challenges. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guests today are Darren Ash and Richard McKinney, the co-chairman of the CIO Counselors Workforce Committee. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and this is a special edition of Ask the CIO. I have two guests, Darren Ash and Richard McKinney, the co-chairman of the CIO Council's Workforce Committee. Now, Darren and Richard, before break, we're talking about the survey results a little bit, getting into it. One thing that you both talked about was what kind of stood out to you from in terms of the results. But what really surprised you about the results? Not just that some results showed X or Y, but maybe something you weren't expecting or something that said that made you go, wow. So let me start with Darren.
I think the thing that really jumped out, that, as you said, that really helped, maybe I went to wow. I think really focusing on those agencies that are incredibly efficient and effective at getting the talent in the door quickly and the right talent. One, and it gets to Richard's earlier points about it should lead us to additional questions out to the community, is what tools are they using? We know that there's different authorities that we've got, agencies that have different hiring authorities that are out there that are granted by OPM. Are these agencies really good at taking advantage and using all the necessary tools in their toolkit, per se, to hire? My sense is, my gut, and some of the conversations Richard and I have had just with some of our peers, is they are doing that, and they're using the tools that are available. But we also sense that there's other tools that they need to get other types of talent in the door quickly. And that was another reason why we did the survey, was is there enough data to demonstrate that we need additional help, additional tools, additional authorities that we need to get the talent, the critical talent in the door quickly.
I'd like to pony up on that and say he's at that spot on. And it's also for the agencies and the departments that are you know, having more success than others, one of the things that I think that we want to have a conversation with them about is, you know, and sort of investigate whether they're doing a better job of, like, say, position descriptions, so that they're, you know, when the candidates that they get in, they really have described the job well, and then the applicants match that really well, and that speeds up the process and makes the process more successful. And if that's the case, one of the things we've talked about is when a department agency has a position description that's been very successful for them, figuring out a way to share that amongst agencies. So if I'm trying to hire and fill a similar position, maybe there would be a resource for me to go and say, hey, here's a position description that was used, and it did a very good job of attracting the you know, it described the job well enough that we got the applicants really matched well, and so we're going to look at that aspect of it as well.
Darren, I'm going to throw this to you because I know Richard is quote-unquote fairly new to the federal government, but you've been around a while, and I mean that in a good way, of course. But wasn't this idea of sharing position descriptions, sharing candidates, has that come up before within the CIO community specifically? I know OPM has brought it up more broadly, but has this idea come up in the CIO community before?
I think there's always been an interest. I know, having been on the CIO Council for a while, a strong interest in sharing best practices. You know, Richard said earlier that it had been a while since the Workforce Committee was active. I know there were some pieces of it that were going on, particularly on the cybersecurity front. But, you know, my sense is, yes, we have done and tried to do some sharing. I think there's a truly concerted effort now to make sure that we're sharing information, but also, have, as Richard said earlier, to having the dialogue and the discussion with our counterparts in the different CXO councils, not just the CHECO council, but Chief Acquisition Officer and CFO.
And I think that's the biggest difference from what I'm seeing, is that it's out of the silo, if you will, to use an IT term. You guys aren't just saying, well, let's solve it using CIO authorities or CIO brain power, but spreading out. Richard, let me turn to you real quick and ask, you know, from your previous experiences, I know you worked in state and local government, you worked in private industry. What has worked well when it comes to kind of sharing position descriptions, or as Darren described, you know, the kind of the best practices across the different communities?
To my state and local experience, if you will, the time to hire was not quite as long, and I, you know, I'm not sure I've quite zeroed in on why that is, but the process didn't tend to linger as long. I know from my private sector experience, the private sector is using newer tools to do position assessments. They're using social media tools like LinkedIn and others. And I think the federal government, one of the things that we would like to have a conversation with the Chico community is, how can we sort of envision how to improve this process to sort of match speeds with the way the world's way it's moving, and especially the way the new workforce likes to apply for jobs and hunt for jobs and all of that. So I worked for Microsoft for a number of years, and they made extensive use of social media tools for hiring. And I think, one of the things that we'd like to explore is where is that appropriate and how could we best leverage that for the federal government?
It's interesting because when you talk about how people like to hire, nobody opens a newspaper anymore and looks for a job. It doesn't happen. Mm. And we all probably got our first jobs in some ways similar to that way. So I think that is starting to play into it. Let's move on to workforce challenges, because I think what you brought up, Richard, is connected to that. The challenge of, as you said, moving maybe into social media. What were some of the other challenges that stood out? And what are the same today as they were maybe 5 or 10 years ago? Darren, start there.
Getting a strong, diverse pool of well-qualified candidates. But what it's the same, but it's changed a bit. We know there's specific skill sets that we're desperately in need of. I mean, strong talent. It could be in cybersecurity, some hard technical skills. Now digital services. We know there's a strong push to get that talent in the door, which is not abundant, I would say, across the federal space. How do we do that? What means do we use to get that talent in the door? So in some ways it's the same, some ways it's different. The difference is, again, the types of things, the types of skills that we're looking for. I think the other thing that remains the same, and it's not universal by any stretch, it's how good we are in the IT community describing what experiences, what skills are necessary to be successful. We wouldn't have talked about digital services 5 years ago, yet some of our position descriptions, those types of things, were never designed for that. So it's a matter of educating our hiring managers, obviously working with the HR specialists to make sure that we've got strong position descriptions, that we've got adequate and actually really good vacancy announcements so that people know exactly what we're looking for. So we struggled at times with that, I would say, in a general way, and I think there's areas for improvement now.
One thing that you brought up was the difference in terms of what you're hiring for and what you're not hiring for. Digital services is one example. But I remember over the years, cyber, project program management have always been kind of the two or three skills that have always stood out and agencies never have enough of. Did that come through the survey again, Darren, in terms of those positions, or did you not ask that specific of a question in terms of what skills?
We didn't ask about that, though, in some of the comments. Information security, cybersecurity did jump out.
As you guys look at the survey and digest it a little bit, are there any other ones that jumped out beyond, again, cyber, program project management, and probably now digital services?
In these areas, around data, data scientists, data, managers, data officers, and cyber, one of the things that we fully acknowledge that we're in a tough competition with the private sector for, what's a limited pipeline. So, that there's no ducking the fact that that challenge is a daunting one.
And I know you're in tough competition with yourselves, too. I know the digital services group, which we'll talk about later. Every agency now has to bring on these talented people. Let me move on to, so you know what you need. You know that some people are better than others, but there are some obstacles that every agency is facing, and some agencies are overcoming them and not. Richard, let me start with you. Are there any specific obstacles you can talk to that the survey really highlighted that really you can say, hey, we may need some help, whether it's from OMB or from OPM or Congress or whomever?
We're exploring whether or not if there are different hiring authorities that we can do, and that may, obviously is going to require some change, and maybe asking for help to change the get these obstacles out of our way. I don't know, Darren. What do you? I'm trying to think of what I consider obstacle removal. I don't know what jumps to your mind.
It's not veterans, and that was one of the interesting conversations we had. It's not veterans' preference. Veterans' preference is not an obstacle. And I think consistently talking to our colleagues, our commitment to veterans hiring is still there and will continue to be there. the conversation is not about that. It's about, you know, things like the position descriptions, the vacancy announcements, being clear about what we need and again, having additional authorities.
Did the idea of authorities come up in terms of, are people using direct hire? Are people using Schedule A or other schedule type, you know, I think there's Schedule B and Schedule C authorities as well that are out there.
It did indeed. And I think that gets back to something I said earlier, which is some agencies are clearly out there and utilizing the authorities that have been granted them. I think the question, as Richard was pointing out, is that sufficient? Do we need additional ones? Mm-hmm. We've had, you know, most agencies have had the direct hire authority for cybersecurity, and that has helped. And as Richard said, we're in deep competition with ourselves, but also with the private sector. The question continues to be, is it sufficient? Is not just for cyber, but for others.
You know, and I would also point out, Jason, one of the things we heard in the survey was, if the time to hire is too long, it becomes an obstacle. In other words, the candidates, you know, today's workforce, they're not going to wait on an answer for months and months and months. You know, they'll give you some time to work the process, but we sometimes, if the process runs too long, we lose good candidates. So it's sort of a, you know, chicken and egg thing. You know, if we could speed the process up, then we'd have more qualified candidates theoretically,
yeah,
at our, you know, to choose from, because some of them wouldn't have dropped out in the meantime.
And Richard, I agree with you. I think that is a common issue, which is,
yep,
you know, if I've got two job offers and, you know, Agency X is taking this long and I'm waiting to hear from them, am I going to take the one that's out there?
Yep.
Just, I want to take a quick break, but before we do that, Darren, was one type of authority more popular than the others? Did that survey talk about whether Schedule A or whatever was most popular?
No, it didn't.
Okay.
We didn't get into that level of specificity.
Right. All right, well, very good. Let's take a quick break. My guests today are Darren Ashe and Richard McKinney, the co-chairman of the CIO Council's Workforce Committee. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. My guests today are Darren Ashe and Richard McKinney, the co-chairman of the CIO Council's Workforce Committee. And we're talking about a recent survey that you guys just did. And the results are interesting. So we talked a lot about some of the trends that you guys saw, some of the results. But what's the bottom line here? What are the takeaways? If I'm a CIO in another department or an agency, if I'm a deputy CIO, if I'm an HR person, Darren, what should I take away from this survey?
I think the bottom line, if I zero in on one issue that the respondents to the survey came back with, is about almost three quarters, felt that they had a significant problem recruiting the necessary talent to support and do mission-critical work. Again, it's not an absolute. It's unscientific, but that was an important item from the respondents to the survey. And even more so, they're looking for help.
And when you talk about they have a problem recruiting people, is it the type of candidates? Is it getting a diverse pool? You've talked about that several times. Did they offer you any insights in terms of what that problem is or where is it coming from?
It's getting the right talent. And in some ways, it ties into a survey that we did back in 2011, which are, you know, we did a very large survey out to the federal community about IT skills. What's our supply? Again, it was almost 4 years ago. What are the competencies, and more importantly, what are the skill gaps, and how do we close these gaps? And, you know, when I think about hiring, you know, traditionally you grow your talent, in this case training, which is absolutely vital, or if that's not available or the best solution, we have a need to be able to hire. And, you know, connecting the two do the agencies have the ability to quickly close those gaps where those gaps exist in terms of skill sets?
It's interesting you brought up that 2011 survey, only in the fact that when I was doing a little bit of research, that was the first thing that came out. How different was that 2011 survey to this one that was done just in 2014?
Well, the 2011 one really was focused not on the hiring process and the things that we are facing. It really was, what's out there? What do we have in terms of available IT skills, IT talent across the federal government. Do we have enough of the right types of skills? And where we believe that we don't, what do we need to do? The data would help inform what do we need to do to close those gaps. You know, one of the things that you mentioned earlier, was about the types of things that are vital, whether it's cybersecurity, program managers, project managers. Do we have enough of those? And is there a career path for those folks as well? And that data, that survey was used to, again, collect the data, but help inform further discussions, but also help OPM in designing programs and identify things that we in the federal government need to do differently.
So if that one really focused on the types of people that were in the government and this one focused on the hiring, that obviously shows that there's some skill gaps as well. And you talked about that earlier, about closing the skill gaps. Did anything come from this survey in terms of how you're going to take that 2011 data, take this 2014 data, and then move out with it?
So, yeah, that's a good point. I know we will do another survey. And the reason I think that next survey, the one that we'll do later this year, is going to be important is marry up the information we've got with this hiring survey that we just did. And also recognize that since 2011, we know the landscape's changed. The types of skills that we need, in some ways, some areas have changed. Richard has mentioned about data architecture, data analysts. I mean, big data. I mean, all the things we've talked about: cloud, cybersecurity, digital services. It's going to be
incremental development.
Yeah, agile development. There's a whole litany of things that we need more of because it's being demanded of us to be agile and to be able to do great things for our agency's missions. But we also need a sense of what do we have as a federal government? Do we have the right skills, and do we have enough of those?
Richard, jump in real quick, because you also were talking about some of the skill gap areas. Do you see a skill gap, you know, when you talk about transportation and you guys are hiring and changing the way you do certain things within DOT? And I know this interview, this discussion is really more about the CIO Council's work, but do you see those skill gaps also coming through and how the survey is proved in some ways where you saw your challenges?
One of the areas that I think, you know, we haven't talked about, that Darren and I and the committee have, another area we've been talking about is the whole training area. I think we see an opportunity for the federal government to do a better job of the training of the folks that you do have to, you know, because, as Darren rightly pointed out, this IT landscape is not holding still. It's moving on. And we think that, you know, we can solve some of our problem by just, you know, ongoing IT training in these new skills for the workforce that we do have.
Now we know the results of the survey. Darren mentioned the potential for another survey that's going to come to look at skill gaps. Richard, from the Workforce Committee's priorities perspective, what do you do with these results? What comes next? And what else are you guys going to work on for 2015 and beyond?
There's really three areas that I think I'd like to touch on real quickly. One is that we're working with a firm, and very soon we're going to have an IT shadow day for college students. So that's kind of that's around the recruitment thing. But we think it's a really good thing for the CIO community to do and to mix it up with college students and try to interest them in considering the federal government for a career. So we consider that a stimulus. We're also, the CIO community and the federal government for the last couple years has had an event. It's usually in early summer, and we've been called heretofore called the CIO Boot Camp. We're kind of going to expand this year to be a larger gathering with, and not just for CIOs, but for staff, and have multiple tracks so people can come in and then over a course of a day or two go to different workshops around some of these, you know, new skills and et cetera. So this IT symposium, you know, we're going to broadly expand that, and we think that that's going to be a something we're going to want to do every year. And then the third thing that we consider really exciting is that we are going to have what we're calling the Solutions Challenge. And what we're asking is all of the departments to identify an employee or two that have the young and upcoming rock stars around, you know, either web development, application development, you know, business people. And we're going to try to get a pretty good group of them together, and then we're going to pose the question to them, and we're going to, all of us will guarantee that a certain amount of their time, 15-20% of their time can be devoted this over the coming months, and then we're going to bring them together and say, identify some problems that you would like to solve. You're in the federal government. What things that you see and that you think, if I had my way, we would tackle this issue. Come up with some good ideas. Maybe we may even break them into teams and have a bit of a challenge between the teams. But then just let them do it. Just let them figure out how to design and create this solution. And we think we're going to get some great. We're going to get some great work product out of it. But two, what we're trying to do is we're trying to stimulate this community. We're trying to, and so these people begin to know one another and to begin to share ideas with each other, which we actually think is going to dovetail really well into what we hope is the federal government being able to really strengthen its workforce around delivering digital services. Those are some things we're focused on. We think that all three of them are very exciting.
All right. And I've had the opportunity to sit through a CIO boot camp many years ago. And I will once again ask you to consider opening some of it to the press. I think it's always a interesting learning experience for people like me. And there's always a little bit of news. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into that digital services conversation. My guests today are Darren Ashe and Richard McKinney, the co-chairman of the CIO Council's Workforce Committee. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and this is a special edition of Ask the CIO. My guests today are Darren Ashe and Richard McKinney, the co-chairman of the CIO Council's Workforce Committee. And we're talking about a recent workforce survey that the CIO Council's Workforce Committee just completed and some priorities that you guys are looking at over the next year or so. Richard, before break, you went through three main priorities. I want to go back to one of those, and that was the IT job shadow day. Is there any timing or more specifics you can offer to that, Richard or Darren, I guess?
Yeah, we're planning for that in April, and we're excited about it. It's intended and geared towards local colleges and universities. So we're going to, I think you go back to the proverbial crawl, walk, run. This will be the first time we do this, so it'll be really, let's keep it small and try and do it right and learn from it. And in fact, this is a nice way to say that we've had great experience in Job Shadow Day for a number of years at the high school level. I think NRC, we've just hosted our 8th annual one about a week or so ago with two local high schools and have had historically great success hosting and in some cases hiring.
I got the opportunity one time to cover a DOD job shadow day for high school, and that was fascinating too because I think a lot of the kids just don't realize what the government actually does. They think it's this big monolith. So I imagine those are very similar experiences on your end.
We want to be able to demonstrate, hey, there's some really neat things that we do to support the important missions of our agencies. It's not just about programming per se. There are a host of other types of skills that we need, that agencies need, and this is a great place to work.
Jason, back when I was in high school, long time ago now, but I did an IT shadow day in high school, and I shadowed the local district attorney, and it had a profound impact on me. I sometimes wonder if the fact that I ended up in public service, that I could, I could draw a link back to that experience, because I remember how impressed I was that day with, just watching him conduct himself through the course. It was a trial that I attended, and it had a big impact. So, we like doing these things because we think that it builds interest in a public service career.
It goes back to the earlier part of the conversation about recruiting a diverse pool of candidates.
Yeah.
I think it's you can't hurt, obviously, and it's only going to help, really. Let's move on to another big area that we've talked a lot about, but not directly, and this is digital services. And one thing that I know is that CIOs are being told to set up these digital services offices by the end of the fiscal year. OMB has asked for money for 2016 to help with these digital services, and agencies are all going to be competing with the private sector for these experts. So let me just turn to Richard, because you guys maybe are a little bit ahead of some other agencies. How does this all fit together? How are you dealing with this hiring of these in high demand, low supply types of people?
I'll relate it to what I've been trying to do here at DOT. Prior to that announcement, let's say last fall, or at least, when OMB said, hey, this is kind of what we want to do, and they unveiled their plan, I'd been trying to figure out how I could build that kind of a digital services team here at DOT, because I clearly saw that need. So when it became this, much broader priority for the government, I was thrilled, because we really want to build that capability. And I know from talking to the folks at OMB that, there's a team that was sort of like a beta, if you will, or a test run of this. And there was folks at OMB, and there was at Veterans, and GSA was the 18F. And, anyway, those initial experiments, if you will, they're not really experiments, but that forays into the whole world of digital services, were proving to be very successful. And I think OMB very wisely said, hey, let's build this muscle everywhere. One of the things that, if you've been following this over the years, the English government, they stood up a sort of a central bureau of digital services. And I think OMB maybe looked at that model, but then said, hey, I think it's better if we build this muscle in the departments themselves, right up against the businesses themselves. And I think that was a very wise move. And so I think all of us in the CIO community were really excited to see this support, this recognition that this is a direction that we need to go into, that we need to develop these newer skills around digital services and agile development. And so it's kind of a parallel track to what we're trying to do with the IT workforce, but it does come right up and touch up against, and as I think your question was leading to, which was, how are we going to find these people and hire them and get them aboard? So, our efforts around workforce and their efforts around digital services find themselves in a parallel track now.
It's an incredibly positive direction that OMB took that says, yeah, hey, these are the skills we need as a federal government to be successful. There are other things that we need, clearly, but this is something we need now to best serve the American people in terms of the online capabilities that we have to have in place. And more importantly, to be able to get these capabilities available quickly. And this is a talent that can help us do it, but it is going to be important for the long haul for federal agencies, not just to rely on folks that may only be here for a couple of years, but to grow and nurture the talent within and to sustain that.
Let me open this up to Richard, but Darren, obviously weigh in, please, as well. Richard, as you're looking to build this digital capacity, are you finding candidates? Are you finding that the people who are applying have that right skill set? I mean, tagging back again to our early part of our conversation, where some of the respondents from the survey said we're not necessarily getting the right skill set. What's your experience been with the digital services group?
With the 18F and the team at OMB and the team at Veterans, with the hiring authorities they had and the way they approached the marketplace, what they found and what the people that they brought aboard are saying to us is there are people that will be drawn to the federal government just because of the size of the problems and the challenge. It's like we're a tall mountain to climb, and there's going to be people that are really going to be excited if they think they're going to get to work on, to bring their skill sets and their new way of building these services and bring them and apply them to what critical challenges that face the federal government. So we think that we have a compelling draw to this talent. I know that if I could relate it to the Department of Transportation, we're working on some really cutting edge stuff, around just the whole how the transportation world is becoming more and more digitized. So we think that when we, we're just at the beginning of this sort of, trying to bring these people aboard. So maybe somewhere down the road we can tell you how this has played out. But we think we have a very compelling story to tell, and that, I'm hoping, and what the early hires have told us is we think you have a great product to sell, and we think that you'll be surprised by the talent that you're able to draw.
All right, sir, we are almost out of time before I let you go. You guys also are CIOs within the government, within your own specific agency. The council work that you do is probably a second, third, or even fourth job for some of you. But give me a sense, what's your big takeaway that you can apply back to your agency from the survey, from some of the things you've learned, and going forward, how can you improve what you do internally at NRC or transportation? Let me start with Darren.
Two things, I'd say, Jason. First one is just how important it is for the HR part of our agency and our IT part of the organization work together. They're partners to be able to help get the right talent in the door. Their communications, the clarity of information, it needs to be seamless. And I see a lot of positives in how we do it. But knowing what I've seen and hearing from other agencies, it just reinforces why that is so important and so vital. The second thing gets to strategic workforce planning. We've talked a lot about digital services and other types of things. It really is stressing the importance of looking ahead to see, do we have the right talent? What are the gaps? And what are we doing as an agency as people leave, that we use those opportunities to hire the right talent when we have the opportunity?
And Richard?
I want to echo what Darren said. I think the aha thing for me, and I think I talked about this earlier, was just that I've got to partner with them as much as I, for them to partner with me. We got to meet in the middle. And I feel like that I am in this specialized world, and these are different kinds of skill sets. And I and my team understand what these skills and these needs are. And we have to, it's just as incumbent upon us to work closely with the Chico community to help them understand that, and also to help them, you know, help us evaluate the talent and also look at the hiring process and how it applies to our world. And my initial conversations with my Chico community about this have been very good, and I think we have a sort of a renewed interest in being very close and tight business partners on this. So I'm excited about how we are going to be able to take some of what we've learned here and begin to put it into practice.
Very good. Very good advice. And interesting survey. I know there's a blog post on the CIO Council's website, which we will link to as well on federalnewsradio.com. But unfortunately, we are out of time. I'd like to thank our guests today, Darren Ash, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission Chief Information Officer, and Richard McKinney, the Transportation Department Chief Information Officer. And both of you also are co-chairman of the CIO Council's Workforce Committee. And we've been talking about that survey. Richard, Darren, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.